Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Germany is Torsten Wolf. Torsten is Director of Forensics at Control Risks. And today we're going to be talking about program maturity for your compliance program. Torsten, thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you, Adam, for inviting me, and thanks for being here. Hello, everybody.
So first, when can a compliance program be considered mature?
Actually, Adam, this is exactly the tricky question about compliance programs, and I guess it's there is a pretty easy saying, and it's not as straightforward as it sounds. I guess you can call a compliance program mature if you really get it integrated in your daily business model and into your business operations. So if all your employees, if all your stakeholders you're working with actually see and understand that compliance is an integral part of your business and of your business ethics and about how you go to market and actually market your products or services. If compliance is an integral part of it and you don't need to think about whether it hinders you, but that it's actually supporting your business, then I guess you can say that your compliance program is really mature and has made its way into the DNA of your business.
So to my mind, one key measure of that is how leadership thinks of the compliance program and interacts with it. Do they see it as a partner that enables the business, or is it a hindrance to it in their minds? How other than gut feel, can a compliance team know where it stands with leadership?
You're perfectly right. We all know that the leadership and actually the so-called tone from the top is one of the seven integral parts of a good standing compliance program. And actually it all stands and falls with how the executive management, how the leaders of your business are actually interacting and how they promote compliance. So I guess it's one of the most important parts of a good working, good running compliance program and a compliance management system that your management plays an integral part in it. And yeah, but that's exactly the question. You sometimes have the gut feeling whether your compliance program runs well or whether there are issues, but actually a lot of compliance professionals don't really know how they should actually judge it or how they should go behind their gut feeling. And this is actually, you really need to take one of the other pillars of a good compliance program, which is the continuous review and remediation process. So you really need to go on the ground, you need to talk to people, you need to understand and run through cases, through transactions to understand how your business, how your business leaders interact in the daily business and to really get an understanding whether they follow the rules, whether they understood what compliance, what's following the internal and external rules and regulations, what that means to them, how they interact, and more specific, how they interact if problems come up and problems arise. And this is exactly one of the major topics. So if you face problems, if you face issues, the reaction of especially management of how to deal with it and whether they put compliance over economic needs, for example, I guess this is how you can get a good feeling whether your compliance program and the role that executive management plays in it works or does not.
Now, one other critical aspect of a mature program is having the right culture in place, and that's not just among the leadership, but throughout the organization. How can organizations effectively assess the culture across the whole enterprise?
Now, I guess it comes back to the continuous review process. So what you should do, what you need to do, is go on site, or actually in the actual times of COVID-19, do it remotely, but talk to people and understand how compliance is perceived by the employees in your entities around the globe. How is it understood? What's expected from everybody? Do people really see and understand that compliance is an integral part of all employees' daily business, and that it's not only with the compliance team or with executive management? So exactly the question of do people feel that compliance is part of how they conduct their business every day? If you get the feeling from interviews, from running through transactions, from looking through whistleblower reports, for example, or actually also the question about how you deal with a compliance breach in a local entity, for example. If you combine all this information and understand whether this meets best practice standards, then you would really see that you have a culture in which compliance is not just a business hinderer or seen as a business hinderer, but actually something that supports your business and where you can actually also get positive effects. Because what people sometimes forget is that if you work integer, if your business partners know that they can trust you and the way of how you conduct business, depending on what you do or in which parts of the world you're conducting business, this is actually a strategic benefit that you would have with regard to your competitors. And I guess it's very important to understand the compliance and the implementation of compliance and its culture into the business processes. This is really important, and therefore the culture and the culture throughout the organization is, in my opinion, the most important part of a compliance organization.
And I think we're definitely in an era where we're seeing what the importance of trust is, not only that institutions will do the right thing, but that we'll do that for each other. Now, what other information should a compliance team obtain to evaluate how mature its program is?
I guess what you can, well, what you should generally do is definitely look inside your own organization, try to understand how compliance is perceived and the maturity of compliance is perceived in the different areas of your business. This is both geographically, so go to your legal entities around the globe if you have them. Try to understand how they do everyday business, how they understand compliance, but also go through the different departments and organizational areas of your business and see whether, for example, your sales team understands compliance the same way as your purchasing department does, or as your accounting team does, and whether they all see and understand what their role, what their part in the compliance organization is. Besides that, of course, what you should also do, you need, as the compliance team, you need to leverage whether your compliance program is state of the art, whether it still works, and therefore you should go outside and also get some information, for example, from your competitors or from organizations or associations that have people from the same background, so compliance professionals in their team, and just discuss about what they see as the latest developments, what is important for a compliance program, and what are actually the topics you need to focus on. So when we look in the last years, we've seen a lot of shifts in the early 2000s. It was all around anti-bribery and corruption. Nowadays, it turns to sanctions, to embargoes, to export controls, to anti-money laundering. And all these topics need to be addressed, and you need to make sure that the processes that you implemented some years ago are still valid and they still fulfill the purpose, and that you actually know which risks you're facing from the world you're interacting with, and that you address these risks properly.
And I just want to echo something that you pointed out is outside the U.S., it was interesting to see how compliance was really born out of the anti-corruption movement and how dramatically it's expanded as people realize that they had this terrific tool to manage all these risks. And at the same time, you're absolutely right. You can't just assume your risk profile doesn't change. The rules keep changing. There's new social and governmental expectations, and the compliance program has to stay on top of that. Now, as people look at to try and assess the maturity of their program, we talked about a lot of data that you should find that, you know, is beneficial to that process. Is there any data that seems pertinent but tends not to be?
Actually, a lot of data that you exactly evaluate for the sense of understanding whether your compliance program is mature, but you interpret it in the wrong way. So, actually, let's put an easy example. If you look into your whistleblower system and you see and they're quite happy and that you're lucky, you don't have any whistleblower cases in your company, but you're acting all around the globe. You have 100,000 employees and you do high-risk business. then on the one hand side, the information you have and the data you receive out of the system looks quite promising. But I guess exactly the opposite is the truth. So if you don't have any whistleblower complaints, any information from around the globe, it's highly possible that actually this tool is not used properly and that people either are afraid to stand up, even anonymous or non-anonymous, or that the compliance culture did not arrive in every part of the world. So the problem is data is only as good as you can read it and as you understand where it comes from and what it tells you. I guess only being reliable on data, another source would be, for example, what many companies have nowadays, the yearly compliance signature that every employee has to give to compliance, that they see, acknowledge, and agree to the compliance rules and regulations, and that they actually followed it. If you have a 100% feedback from all your employees, everything's fine, and that they adhere to your policies, doesn't mean that this is actually the case. And this is exactly, I guess, one of the most important things, again, when it comes to compliance. You need to make sure that your compliance program is not a paper tiger, but that it actually works. And the problem with data is if you use and analyze the wrong data, you might come to the wrong conclusion. So data needs to be seen and worked out in a way that you really get the information that is included in it and not only fulfills a purpose that you want it to be.
Thank you. And I got to say, you really make a good point that you really have to understand the data well to see if it really truly is giving you an indication of the state of your program or just giving you a meaningless number that really doesn't tell you much at all. Well, Torsten, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.